If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Peep, 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 the Harman Silent Leap.
Hello, my name is Tommy Ruby. You're listening to BBC Sounds. Over the last number of episodes of Young Hot Guys, we've allowed you to listen to the inane babblings of our protagonists. But since the last episode aired, a number of explosive allegations and revelations have been made that have changed the case completely and blown it wide open. Myself and my colleagues here in BBC Sounds are investigating the cruel torture and mistreatment of
audience members. I'll take it from here, Shane. Yes, it was a concert on the night. It was Sunday, and audience members said they felt absolutely
victimized
is the word to use.
Some of the comments were just kind of chalked down to a bit of banter, but if we listen back now, previously on Young Hot Guys, I've got a guy tied to a radiator in my house.
That was what you heard was Tony Cantwell.
I can't. Can we do
all
that?
All but admitting to torturing a man attached to his radiator in his home, which he bought through embezzled funds from Reroll Lager.
There, attracted me.
They're very attractive.
Hot and loud.
And a little bit sad.
He was the best guy around.
Oh my. Is it hot in here or what?
You're an attractive guy.
It's the fabulous Tony Cantwell.
I'm talking about Shane Daniel Byrne.
Idiots on the devil!
Dear Santi, it's Shane
and Killian
and Tony,
the Young Hot Guys. Mm-hmm. We have been such good Young Hot Guys all year, and we know Christmas is the time for us getting stuff from you. How about you fill our stockings this year with 8 delicious cans of
Re-Raw
Irish Lager? It's the only thing on our list.
Santa, can I please have a can of Re-Raw in my stocking, please?
Santa baby.
And remember, when Santa comes to your house, what's the real nice thing to do is to leave out a little cookie and a nice can of Re-Raw.
A nice cold can of Re-Raw.
That's what Santa does.
He doesn't want stodgy stuff. He wants a light and fresh Wicklow Brewed Lager.
Exactly. And it's only 4.5%, so we can probably still drive.
And again, oh yeah.
440 mil can.
440 mil can, so.
Thank you, Re-Raw Irish Lager.
Thanks, Re-Raw, for sponsoring the podcast. At Re-Raw Beer on Instagram. Love you, Santa. Notice bonus episodes of the podcast
you can listen to
right now.
You can get more of this where we talk to the real diehards, the bonus episodes. You go to Headstuff Plus, you can become a member.
Headstuffpodcast.com.
That's it.
And to become a member, it's only like €5. And you know what?
There's a 2-week free trial right now as well.
It's a 2-week free trial right now.
Mm-hmm. I can get the stuff. The bonus content is actually good, I think.
Yeah.
I know the podcast is supposed to be good, but like, I do think it is funny.
It's funnier.
What can you even get for a fiver? You can't even get a pack of like Cadbury's Twirl Bites for a fiver now, practically.
Oh, so that's the way it's gone.
That's the way it's gone.
Yeah.
Can't even get a price and Grogan's for that money.
Toasty.
Yeah, toasty.
Now, what's better than a toasty and Grogan's is bonus content from the Young Hot Guys, and you can do that on headstuffpodcast.org.
Make the toasty at home. Save the fiver. Give it to us.
Save the Bambinos, go toasty, and do it tonight.
How was your gig in Cork? How did you find it? Did you stay overnight?
In City Limits, I stayed overnight. Really nice. Nice, but the first one was on the same night as the toy show was on.
Oh, wow.
Does that date this podcast if I say that? I don't know. So it was a bit difficult because there was barely anybody there.
We're still talking about it.
Everybody was watching the toy show. So it was like, literally everyone watches the toy show. So the few people who were there, I was like, oh, what even are yous? You know what I mean?
Hardcore fans of Shane Dan.
Hardcore. No, they weren't. They were all strangers to me. But I am coming back to Cork in the Everyman. Please, Killian, I'm trying to plug my show. I'll be in the Everyman in May, so please buy tickets to that. If you are in Cork City or surrounding counties, make the trip in. Stay somewhere nice. You know who I saw down there? Michael Martin. Michael Martin, just
was
as good
he?
As Michael Collins. Yeah, he was down there launching something. I was just strolling up the street, McCurtain Street, and they've redeveloped it and he was launching something, but I didn't stay. I was going to like try and do some kind of funny social media video, but it took so long for the mayor of Cork spoke as if he was shouting, you know, the way they talk into the microphone at Croke Park when they say, "Oh, son, Dowd, Urim, August, thanks to my wife, and all our wives are amazing." And, you know,
he was
bellowing into the. There was like an assembled crowd of whatever, 15, 16 people. It was this weird launch of a Saturday morning for some reason of some kind of public transport infrastructure on McCurtain Street. I don't know. Text in. Let us know what was going
on.
And
you were there.
And I was like, I was trying to. I was just walking by and I was like, you're on your own. So I was like, I'll try and get a video with the tone. That's kind of funny. Mm-hmm. But the guy was bellowing so loud, the mayor of Cork, that I just was like, I'm out of here. I can't do this. I can't do this.
He's our peer, Micheál Martin. You know, he's been in this very room.
This very room?
This very room. He, fellow podcaster, Micheál Martin.
Anna emailed Micheál Martin the other day. In anger about, like, you know, he went to Israel and all this kind of stuff.
Of course,
stuff,
yeah.
Sent him an email. And Anna is an amazing, wonderful, very intelligent person, but she words sometimes is kind of, words and phrases, she sometimes does things wrong. And you know when you usually email TDs and stuff like that, you get a copy and paste thing and you just put it in and you put your name in or whatever. Mm-hmm. This time she's like, do you know what, writing from the heart. Sweet. Because I was really upset about whatever your stances are, this kind of thing. So she emailed him and she was writing from the heart, but then like read it back after she'd written it. And some of the things she said, she was like, "Dear Micheál Martin, I am outraged at, you know, your actions in regards to the situation in Palestine and Gaza. You know, you need to know that the Irish people who condone genocide need to."
Oh no.
And then she went on and wrote her whole thing and then like penned it, looked her through, sent it and was like, yeah, that was pretty good. Reread it and then went, oh no. And then just her email to Micheál Martin just has a reply underneath that just says, spelling correction, Irish people who do not condone genocide.
Oh God. I was getting a lift once as a teenager with my mom's giving me and my friend there in a lift, and she was talking with some teacher. We were in school like at the time, and she was talking with some teacher and he called her precocious. He kept saying she was precocious because she was bold, whatever. And but the word she said was, she got it wrong, and she's like, he always just says I'm so promiscuous. And I was like, what? My mother was thinking, can I read these? Wait, I don't know. My brother Josh, he was best man at his friend James's wedding, and James is a guy who he's a very intelligent man, but he makes these mistakes. So they were drinking in Lake Bled when they were interrailing, and they were drinking cans at this gazebo by the lake, and gazebo is the word here. And the next night they were like, what will we do now? And he's like, what will we do later? We just go down and have a drink in the gulag again. And then he said,
the fucking gulag.
The gulag. And then
you
another one,
the gulag, mate.
He has more. That's just the tip of the ice cube.
I love that.
Come down off your pendulum instead of, you don't like that one? Come down off your pedestal.
Oh, God.
We'll edit that one out. And then leaving the house on a particularly sunny day in Dublin, he looked up and said, Jesus, it's like the Spanish Armada out here, which I quite like as well.
What does that mean?
As in, it's like the Spanish, you know, Costa del Sol, but he says it's like Spanish Armada. And then my favorite one, the last one, he said, now that just wouldn't be my bag of tea. Not even tea bag.
I love that. She kind of has like a different. She basically, I don't think she understands that phrases have meanings. So what she does is she just says phrases, all the phrases, at any point where she just kind of feels a vibe where you need to put one in here. So she says the phrase correctly, but just in the completely wrong circumstance. So there's one time, like for example, she was at a work meeting, you know, and it was like film, and they were on the last day of the production, and they were all working on different things, and she was at the meeting. It was in the middle of the day, and they were like, so you need to go here, you need to go there, and you need to do this. Is that all right? Does everyone have that? And everyone was like, yeah, we're going to go. And Anna was like, all right, sweet. Well, I think I'm going to go hit the hay. And they were like, what? And she's like, I'm going to go hit the hay. And then she just walked out.
What?
I don't know what she thought. I think she maybe felt like it meant like, I'm gonna go or something.
Well, hit the hay means sleep.
Hit the hay means I'm gonna go to sleep. So she just was at her work meeting. She's like, all right, guys, I think I'm gonna hit the hay.
In work? Oh, no, it was a social thing.
No, it was a work thing. And then she just walked out of the room, and everyone was like, did she just say she's going to bed?
I snored for that one. I like it a lot. Oh, God.
I've got some from my wife is constantly misspeaking. I actually have a little folder here of Terryisms.
Oh, great.
Well, one is, right, it's just a coincidence that you brought it up.
This is amazing that we have these saved on our phones. Like, I can't get up, like, they're just ready to go. People think we prepare this podcast. We don't. It's purely out of our arseholes.
This is it.
She was talking about, like, anxiety and kids suffering from anxiety. And, like, you know, dealing with how kids are suffering with anxiety. And she goes, yeah, it really is a 20-headed spider.
What does that mean?
And she's just like, I think she meant to say it's as mad as a bag of spiders or something like that.
Okay, yeah,
it really is a 20-headed spider.
It's a 20-headed spider.
And then she was all like, there was something reckless someone did. And she's like, that's just dancing with stupidity.
Oh, that's pure dancing with stupidity.
And then she just messes up words and jumbles them together. Like, she doesn't know how to say Sigourney Weaver, so she just doesn't even try.
Very few people do.
And now, Ripley from Alien.
But this Adele team. What was it?
Adele Dazeem.
Adele Dazeem.
The wickedly talented Adele Dazeem.
She calls Ben Affleck, Beneflect.
Oh, that's like kind of good. Yeah, I like that, actually. Cute.
That's good.
And one time she said sticky lip gloss, and she said strippy lickless. So, a couple of cubans. I feel like I should have gone first.
I do. I do like those things. When does your brain start to turn to pure? I couldn't remember a fella's name the other day for ages. Mm. And I texted my friends and I was like, what's your man's name? And they're like, sent me a surname. And I was like, oh, yeah, that was it. His name was John.
Yeah, because you never, whenever it's John, I couldn't remember. You're like, it's not going to be John.
No, I couldn't remember his surname.
Oh, okay.
I was like, what? Anyway, I texted the gals and they wrote back. But I was like, someone else was like, am I losing my mind? And she's like, no, it's happened to me as well. I was like, is this the start of the decline? And I was like, when does your brain just turn to mush? Like, you know, your parents say just absolute rubbish sentences. Like my mom, we used to put them up when we were teenagers. We'd stick them up on the fridge. Stuff, my brother would print them and stick stupid stuff my parents said in the fridge. Like my mom would say stuff like, what's that film in it with your man in it and the woman and the other fella? I want to just live in that.
No, but the annoying thing is, I always know.
I always know.
Yeah. She goes like, what's that film where the guy is in it and he does that thing? You're like, oh, 127 hours.
Yeah.
You get stuck in the canyon.
I'm always like with Terry, like, no, you're not thinking of that. It's actually Denzel Washington and the movie is
You're overstepping.
Day. Yeah.
You also know when they're speaking. My mom called, we had dinner the other day. We have an event in our house called, we have dinners on birthdays. So you might get a takeaway in the house, whatever. And then we have one in called The Joint, we call it, which is two people's birthdays at once. And now there's about four people in The Joint because new people have joined the family through relationships and whatnot. And it's called The Joint. And we had The Joint the other day. I think they're all called Joints now. Anyway, that's not very interesting or colourful, but just a bit of texture to my life.
My granddad said once at dinner table, he was like, on Sundays when we were younger, we used to have a big massive joint. Because it used to be a joint of lamb or something like that, or I don't know.
But my mother spoke to me, she said she's used all, you know, when they're speaking to you, even if they don't say your name. Mm. My mother was like, she meant to say, Shane, go up and get that. And she went, Adam, go up and get the thing. And was like, you said all three other names and not mine. But I still know you meant me. Like, I still knew she was speaking to me. So it's this weird thing. When I was a teenager, my friend had a big barbecue. And it was when those lifty up barbecues were coming in as a thing. And I was having dinner there in his house for whatever reason. And then, and his granny and all was there. And I think she was kind of a quiet granny. Had maybe seen all or something. And we were sitting there having dinner. And then, they were delighted with this barbecue. And then the mom said, we're like 15, 16. And his mom said, it's brilliant, the barbecue. I mean, it's huge. You could have big joint on it. And we all were like, and it was like, you know, when you're in someone else's house, and I was trying to be on best behavior. And then like a few minutes passed and I did it again. I was like, I was laughing again. I
remember my granddaddy used to call Jif, Jip. And he'd be all like, we'd have like pancakes. Remember they had like, it wasn't Jif, but you could get like lemon in a lemon shaped pot. Then it was also called Jif, but it was not something.
See,
that
in those days, you could get the lemon juice. It was Jif, was the
it
brand.
Was Jif, but then there was all that Jif. There was all that Jif. They watched it anyway.
And then they said, and all we didn't have the kids today going to water bottles to school. We used to drink vinegar.
We used to drink Jif over lemon.
It wasn't the wine vinegar. It was, you know, they've all balsamic. It was brown vinegar we had in those days. And you'd be glad of it. That's the thing. That's the thing. You'd be glad of that one. You'd be glad of the glass of vinegar. You know what I mean?
No, but he'd always say, like, we'd have pancakes or whatever. And he's like, do you want a bit of jib on your pancakes? Do you want a bit of jib on your pancakes? And he'd say to my mum, like, Carl, I'm trying to wash those dishes, but I've no jib.
My first job, I was a fruit and veg salesman and
sales boy.
Wow. I guess I was only 17, and I had a particularly bad day, and it was very sunny, and I realized they dropped me off in an estate that I'd already done the week before, because I literally knocked on a guy's door, he opened it up, I recognized him and he recognized me, but like I still had to go through with it. So I went, just some fruit and veg, and he kind of looked at me, he was like, you were here like 3 days ago, and he was like, no. And I was like, cool. And then I just closed the door and I just walked to the shops and got an ice cream and sat on a bench. And the lad picked me up. You know, when you're 17, you're just a fucking idiot. Yeah. So he picked me up and he was like, oh, ice cream finished early. Did you sell a few boxes? Did you? I was like, no, I didn't sell any. And he's like, what the fuck? What do you mean? He's like, oh, you dropped me off here 3 days ago. And he's like, why didn't you call me? Why didn't you call me? I was like, I don't know. I just felt like, having a, you know, an ice cream and just chilling. So then for the rest of the time that I worked there, they all called me HB. Oh, yeah. I was done with the sales door to door after that.
It's hard, door to door sales.
It is tough. Yeah. I wasn't very good at it.
I used to do door to door sales as just a power washing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. The key is just add 50 quid on, the more of the house you see.
You know, only a chump idiot would agree to it. But
I think we had one in the 10 years I did it.
Yeah, yeah. One fella did it, but it was worth it. Yeah, little Nancy boy he was. Little Jesse.
I had to do door-to-door sales one time. Well, like, I didn't want to... Like, I remember I had to get, like, my first job, and I didn't want to... You know when you just have a list of stuff you don't want to do? Being like, I don't want to work in a restaurant. I don't want to work in retail. I don't want to do this. Don't want to do that, you know? So I just was looking up mad jobs on, like, fucking Craigslist or whatever the equivalent was in, like, 2003 or whatever. Or 2005. And I saw one that was like...
2004? What did we...
It couldn't have been 2004, could it?
2002, maybe.
And I found some place that was like on Parnell Street. There was like, it was just like door to door sales. And they were like, okay, come wear a suit, you know, for the interview. I didn't have a suit, so I spent like €100 on a suit, you know, for this first job I ever had. And then eventually it was just this door to door, like selling like Tupperware door to door. And I remember they dropped me off in Tala. And it was a day that was like, I'm already in over my head here. Like, I'm already in the red now because of the fucking suit. And like, I had to like tie my hair up in like a ponytail, and I never wore it up in a ponytail then. I was really embarrassed. And I opened the door, and this guy was, I was like, do you want any Tupperware? And he was like, no. And as he was closing the door, his son shot me in the dick with a BB gun.
Oh my God.
And I was like, what happened so fast? And I was like, what? I was like, I think he just shot me. And the one I was with was like, it doesn't matter. And I was really sad. And I knew, and my phone was blown up because all my mates were like, are you going to the beach today? Because all their mates were going to the beach. And I was like, no. And I had to carry these two.
So you're wearing a suit and sweltering
heat. Sweat and heat. And then I was like, bringing these two, like, carry, like pulley cases, because like, I'm like the protege or whatever, and the master, she's walking ahead of me. And as I was walking down, I don't know why, but all my mates drove by in the car.
Oh no.
On the way to the beach. And they were like, and I could hear them laughing.
Holidays.
And I actually cried.
Like, hey, there's
actually
Tony.
Was like, they were actually crying.
Actually physically, you know? Crying.
Yeah.
Are you crying? No, it's just sweat from the heat.
Sweat. My eyes get hot.
Door-to-door sales is so hard.
Yeah, it's so tough.
Like, we used to make it fun. We would do a game. It's just the funniest game ever. I mean, you should just do it on your own if you go into a shop or something like that. But just walk, like, we would call to the door, two of us, and it would be a dare. Whoever talks first loses.
Oh, that's so good.
So you open the door, and the person goes, yes? And you stand there and just don't say anything. And then I was like, you'd start gesturing and kind of go, so... And then you'd point to them, and then they'd point to you. It was so funny. Oh my
God, top salespeople.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. We didn't sell anything. I remember just, like, you're a kid. They're obviously not going to buy stuff unless they feel very sorry for you because you're just a child.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I haven't done any research. And they'd be like, so the fruit and veg, like, where's that coming from? And I'd be like, oh,
man.
I don't know. Like, they just get the box. It's a box of fruit and veg.
Where'd you get the potatoes? Tree?
I was like,
potato tree?
I really didn't. They're like, what's in it? What kind of stuff do you get inside it? Fruit and veg. Like, it's got all
Shut
that.
Shut up. Do you want it or not? Shut up.
Yeah. I do like that. The healthy disdain that young people have for those early jobs where you just really just don't, I don't care. I worked in, my auntie got me a job in the central bank. And I worked in the central bank the summer I did Leave Insert. And I then, it was like just for 6 weeks or something. And I worked in central bank. And then I had, you know, over the 6 weeks, I had 1 day and a half annual leave, right? So I had taken that. And then I really wanted to go to Sligo. So I was like, everyone's gone on Friday. So I just didn't go in. I was like, fuck it. What's the worst? What's the worst that could happen? I was like, I just didn't go. And then on Monday then, I didn't ring, didn't say, I'm not coming in. And then on Monday, I was like, morning, whatever. Morning, Deirdre. And then the boss man, like, who obviously does not need to speak, head of department, doesn't need to speak to this 16-year-old whose whole job, 17-year-old, our whole job was to, actually, I signed a confidentiality agreement, but it would basically look through this filing cabinet. It was our whole job. There used to be an attic on the roof of a central bank. And it was like, you had to go and get a key off a guy and then the key in the lift. So when you were up there, you could do as you please because you had the key and people couldn't get there unless.
Oh, great. Oh, wow.
So I would go around, we'd just like swing on the chairs. But there's this guy I was working with and he was so dull. He was so boring. And I'd be like, I remember saying to him that I was, you know, when you're kind of like, I need to create fun here. This is too boring. And I was like, would you push me on this chair? That's the chair. I was like, push me. So you like fuck around. But yeah, I just think that was fun.
Like, so forward.
Like, I had to, I had to kind of, I was you're not going to spontaneously go, I'll push you. He was a real geek loser.
Why don't you push me?
What do you think about pushing me on this chair? See how
it's
far
I can go?
It's not
how fun works then, because it's like naturally happens, but you're trying to create. Why don't you give me a little push?
Yeah. How about you push me in the chair? Because it'll be a bit faster. So I was swinging around the chair. But anyway, we didn't find anything we were supposed to find. The whole point of our job was to look for these things and confirm that they had indeed been burnt. So they were all burnt. But I didn't go in. And then the man was like, the next morning, he was just, on the Monday morning, he was like, you see, I think, and there was this bitch, right? Her name's Deirdre. Right? I'm only 17. Oh. And she was there and she was like, had this scowl on her face at me. She's not my boss. She was kind of like, he told her to tell me what to, she would give you, tell you go find the key. It was not my boss. She's like, we thought you quit. And I was like, oh, sorry about that. Okay. And anyway,
I like you
horrible.
Reverted to teenager there where you're like, she's not my boss. Like,
yeah, she's not my boss.
She's kind of acting like she's my boss. She wasn't my boss. She was like, Jesus, fuck off. I didn't say that, but she felt like it, you know?
I wish someone told you before you get those jobs that, like, you just have to do stuff that you don't want to do. Like, you kind of have to eat shit. I wish someone was like, just, you're going to eat shit. Like, that's the job. Like, it's whatever fine. It is, you're just going to eat
shit. Don't worry about it.
Like, I remember, like, working in Topman, and, like, it was one of my first jobs. And I got someone sent me a picture of the roster or sent me like a, whatever, the text of the roster. And I was like, hey, you had me in on Saturday, but I was kind of hoping to do something on Saturday.
Yeah.
And he's like, that's not how this works. Like, you're in the hours. And I'm like, what? But like, can I not go in like on Sunday? Like, I brushed before Sunday. And I'm like, no, like, you're in when you're in. And I remember when I worked in Dunn's, I got a job in Dunn's. It was actually my first job. And it was at Christmas time just for a bit, like they're looking for extra holiday stuff. Yeah. And I went in and I had to do like the initiation and everyone like watched the video and they gave out like the whatever the top or whatever, you know, the uniform. And they gave me like this kind of prepackaged little thing and it said whatever medium. And there's this girl beside me and she got hers and said extra large. And she was like, oh, and I was like, ah, here, look, we'll just swap. Like, I don't mind. Like, I'll take the extra large because I was trying to kiss her, I think.
Okay,
maybe, or
sure, yeah,
you know.
Okay, and maybe top her.
You know, I do things. I do nice things for women now without that expectation. But I was, you know, like, we're 16,
back
whatever.
Then, yeah,
you know.
But feminism hasn't been invented.
Feminism. No. Well,
feminism.
I hadn't heard of it.
And feminism.
Know. What feminism?
Well, we need to have a talk about the rise of feminism.
But then so we swapped, and I put on mine, and it was a fucking dress. And then she stands up. And she's like 6'7", and this top is like up to like a belly top. She could have worn the extra large. So like for the whole time I'm working there, I'm like hovering around like Mr. Burns in a little dress, like a little ghoul. And like, I remember like the first day, it was like you finish at 5. So we got to like, you know, I was looking at like, you know, 4:45, 4:50, 4:55, 5. And I just walked, like I walked without saying anything to anyone, you know?
Yeah.
And like, I just picture them being like, where's Tony? Been to see me like walking off my little dress, you know, without telling anyone.
Yeah, I remember that where you kind of, like when you, because I worked in restaurants as like kitchen porter and stuff like that. And like the time where they will, small businesses like that will, they will keep you as long as, they won't tell you you can go. Like they want you to stay and work as long as possible, you know, because they're paying you what, like €8 an hour and you're keeping the things going. So they would try, you know, they try to keep you as long as you want. And like you're
this kid who doesn't really know what you're supposed to do. You're like, how do I leave here? Like, I remember being like the first few weeks I was working there and I'd be like in till five, but it'd be insanely busy. It's a kitchen shift is coming in and stuff like that. So I'm like, I'm supposed to go home, but I don't know. Like, do I act, like what happens? So I just end up working till like eight. And then maybe the chef would be like, Killian, when are you supposed to be here till? I was like, oh, 5 o'clock. They're like, what the fuck are you still doing here?
Yeah,
I'm like, I don't know. How do I leave? Like, how do I get out of here?
Yeah.
I one time had a job when we were in college and it was just for a day. And they said, we'll give you, it was €70 from like 10 till 3 or something. And we're like, oh my God, incredible.
Yeah.
And then we got there and it was all changed. The guy who organized the job for us didn't turn up. We're like, that was weird. And then we thought we might have been on a candid camera show. All it was that we had to have clickers down the Docklands and click, which was the new up and coming area at the time. Mm-hmm. It's just near 20 years ago now. It wasn't that long ago. But anyway, you'd have these clickers and you'd click everybody who walked by you. And we were like, it was actually €50 and it was 10 till 5. So it was like really crap money.
Oh, wow.
And they did this like little intro with us where we all went and said our names and what we were doing or whatever. Oh. And then we were like, this is weird. I don't like this. So me and my friend, we happened by fluke to be scheduled on the first break together. The first break. So we had half an hour clicking and then we were going to go on our break and then wait for work for the next 7 hours or whatever without a break. And then he texted me and we couldn't even stand together. And we were standing different parts of the thing. And he texted me and he said, do you want to leave? And I said, yeah, let's go, right? So he came running down. Someone else comes over and takes your clicker. And he came running down and we sprinted away from the away from the things. And then it was the most wonderful game, day. So we were left, right? And then we stopped answering the phone calls to them and said the phone wouldn't work. And then we knew some other guy was called Niall, right? Yeah. And then, first of all, we diverted our phone calls to a salon, and then we watched the salon keep getting phone calls. So they kept ringing, and then they would text you and go, hey, can't get you, keep getting someone else, some problem with your number. And then we texted back at one point and said, hi, Carol, I'm actually back counting on Quint Street, a name street we made up, Quint. And then she was like, there's no control point on Quint Street. And we were having the absolute best day of our lives, And then she said, every time I ring you, I get a salon. And we said, every time I ring you, I get Niall. It was just some other guy, we didn't even know. It was absolutely brilliant. And I had this voicemail from the man in charge, and I think he was like the CEO of the whatever, the company who do this thing. And I had this thing, and it was so I kept it for years on this phone. It was like, Shane, where are you? You're 20 minutes late for your control point. Come on. And we would play that at parties, play it in pubs. We just,
what was this business? Clicking.
I guess it was just about what's the footfall in the Docklands, the Dockland Development Authority, all that
kind of thing. Busy day today. Yeah, loads of people.
Yeah. But you click, I don't know how they, it seems to be an inexact science to me because like...
When you get to 500, you can stop.
clicking them, but you'd click the same person.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, but it was really, really great fun. And I would recommend
worth
any young people.
Worth 70.
Do a bit of work, but also fuck around. It's great, great experience. We got no money, obviously, because we quit by running, literally running.
For Tech's Sake is a podcast that goes beyond the hype of tech developments to bring listeners the knowledge they need to make informed decisions. And it's hosted by me, Elaine Burke, a science and technology journalist.
And me, Jenny Darmody, editor of Silicon Republic.
Each episode, we're joined by an expert to answer our probing questions to discover what's good tech and what's just tech for tech's sake.
And we've had some amazing guests this season, including roboticist Niamh Donnelly. She was just named Woman of the Year in STEM by Irish Tattler.
We also had Ireland's AI ambassador, Dr. Patricia Scanlon, Stripe CTO David Singleton, and Bobby Healy, CEO of Irish drone company Mana.
And last season, we had Abiba Berhane, who was recently appointed to a UN advisory panel on AI.
We certainly know how to pick them. And if you want to be in the know on tech, robotics, drones, AI, and what have you, on a deeper and more human level, be sure to subscribe.
What are you into at the moment? Like, what's your kind of like YouTube that you like watching just for your own enjoyment at the moment? What's your kind of personal hang?
Not a real YouTube guy.
Well, what's your kind of personal hang where you're like, I'm just going to watch the videos?
Chinese people making things from the source. So I watch this Chinese guy who lives in like the mountains, and there's a little pan flute in the background, and it's like,
oh, I love that shit. And he seems to just be washing pork for ages.
And then he literally gets a root and some grass, and he just starts pounding it and grinding it. And I'm like, what is it going to be?
Yeah.
And it's just like, what is it going to be? And then he makes some sort of like lather, and then he scoops the lather off, and then he's like dries it in the sun, and then it turns into dust. And I'm like, what is it going to be? And then he does more and more and more. Eventually he's like, instead of lathering it, he dries it, and then he boils it, and then he steams it, and then it's like getting to smaller and smaller and smaller until eventually he puts them into little molds, and it turns out it's draw on tattoos. He's made some sort of weird diamond chalk thing for like drawing henna. Tattoos. Something like that. And is I'm that just like, good? This, my mind is exploding. It's like, doo, doo, doo. There's a woman who does it on YouTube. She's amazing. But all the comments underneath, she's like this beautiful woman, this Chinese lady who's able to make everything from its source. And all the comments underneath are just from these American men who are just doing their, like, she's obviously a very wealthy person. She's got like the one of the biggest YouTube channels in the world, and all these American men are kind of like, hey, if we want, I would marry, you should come and live with me, I love you so much, I will give you a house, I will give you a, like, bitch, he fucking
owns you. Is this not Justine Stafford's YouTube?
Yeah. But they're like, oh, fucking, I would, like, you know, I would give you a great life here in Massachusetts. And it's like, man, she's living the life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's the ideal life.
That's very entitled thinking.
That's my YouTube.
I like watching, there's a guy who does these kind of POVs on TikTok of him just living his life, and he has a big massive bachelor pad and loads of just like really futuristic stuff that also looks, I mean, it's always, I always see the first comment is all like, this looks both really expensive and really cheap at the same time. And it's always the same comment, because it's like, he'll have like a lot of Roombas. He'll have like his fruit in like a bowl that has like some sort of like, he puts like what looks like a little pit, like a JBL speaker that just seems to, like, I don't know, clean the fruit or something like this.
Yeah, I've seen that.
You know, and all this stuff. And he's got, like, robots kind of. But all he does is just open his drawer, take out a wad of cash, and he takes, like, loads of cash, put it in his hand.
Yes, yes.
And then, like, bring a carton of cigarettes.
Yes.
And then just sit out in, like, on like a bit of plastic furniture, cane and smokes, drinking like WKDs.
Yeah, I watched this guy too.
And that's his whole life. And I'm just, I kind of want it. Yeah. So it's kind of like if I were just to give into my base urge, it would be to have robots cleaning my gaff and me just be caning fags and drinking WKDs, I think.
I really like his little drawer of cash and his big, kind of very clean cigarette packets.
Yeah.
There's something plastic and nice about them. Yeah, that's the life.
That's kind of my buzz.
That's what we're aiming for.
I mean, hopefully.
Hopefully what the podcast can allow us to do that. Yeah. It's allowing us to fulfill our dreams already.
Well, what I love about having a partner is it kind of prohibits me from the life that I think that I want is not what's best for me. Do you know what I mean? I feel like if I actually listen to myself of what I want, which is just to sit in my car eating like a munch box of Chinese, which is what I want, you know, but like that is not leading me down the direct path. You know, I think I need to have the bumpers on. I think my wife is a big pair of bumpers. She has a big pair of bumpers on her and she, you know, keeps me from actually going in the gutter. Do you know what I mean?
Sweet bumpers.
You know what I mean? So I think it's good that it benefits me.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Do you offer anything to her?
No, and she let that slip recently. She was like, what do you do?
what do you do around here?
You know, but then she'll like, you know, your good father, blah, blah, blah.
You open jars.
Know. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Once they figure out how to open jars.
Once she figures out how to get something on the TV, you know.
Yeah.
Like, we have like a dodgy box and, you know.
Should you be saying that? Because they actually are cutting down. I think that they were saying they're really going to go heavy on the dodgy boxes this year.
No. Probably not. But
so you don't have a dodgy box?
No, I do have a dodgy box, but just for the sake of this, I have the iPlayer downloaded on my little Fire Stick, but I have to have a VPN to use the iPlayer.
Okay.
So we watch MasterChef, the professionals. Mm-hmm. And like, so when I go onto the thing, I have to turn the VPN on. I have to search for BBC UK so that it looks like our IP address is coming from somewhere in the UK. Mm. And I was just looking at Terry and I was like, does like the Oppenheimer soundtrack just play when you see me doing this shit? You must have no idea. She's like, oh, whatever. So now every time I do it, I play the Oppenheimer soundtrack, you know? But she has no idea. She'd be like, is Game of Thrones on Netflix? You say stuff like that. You know what I mean? So like there's a level
what
of...
What a moron.
Do you know what I mean? So like where accounts, I think I'm very smart and bring quite a lot to the relationship. Okay.
You know the TV license?
TV.
I pay the TV license. Do they have me forever now? Even if I like move house, do they like am I trapped?
I think they just go house.
If I decide one time like to be the protest people and go, I'm not paying it. I will pay my license. All right. Go ahead. Loads of people didn't. But if I decide not to renew it, do they... Like, what's going to happen to me? Am I trapped by the TV license?
I watch a lot. I've watched a lot of YouTube videos of, and they are UK videos, but it's like the TV license person legally can't come into your house or something like that. They're like some sort of...
They look in your window, though.
They can look in your window, but you can kind of go, that's not plugged in. Or, you know, there's kind of ways where you can go, don't have a TV. And they're like, well, can I check? And you're like, no. And they're like, can I come in? No. So you can kind of do, and there's lots of videos of people going, it's my right, you can't come in, all this kind of stuff.
Must be so disheartening to like arrive at the door and they're like, I don't have a TV.
The guy was so good who came to my door though.
Don't do this. Like, everyone, how can you do this? Everybody has a TV. It's like saying,
don't have one.
Don't have a heart. Actually, don't have a heart. No, I actually have something that doesn't have a heart.
No, we don't have a TV.
No,
he came to our door.
Don't have a
like,
fridge.
He was like, don't have a fridge. He's like, well, you just need to go online. Don't have that. Don't have online.
Can't read. Fuck off. Shut up.
Who are you?
I don't even remember what I said a second ago. This means so little to me. That's how their day to day.
Yeah. Live here. Don't. Who am I? I don't know. Yeah. What's your name? Don't have one.
I'm a ghostie, actually.
I saw a video of a guy being really mean to the TV license.
No,
I think that's unnecessary.
No, you don't want that.
But he was so good. He was so good. He played me so quick. It was just like. He was like,
your TV guy.
He was like, what's your name? And I was like, Shane. And he's like, what? And I was like, how? I told him. And he was like, no, the surname. And then I was like, oh, you got my full name. Oh,
very
my God.
Clever.
Oh. Yeah. And then I was like, oh my God. And I was like, no, this isn't my house. And then, which it isn't, I rent it. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, but just, no, don't worry. You're not in trouble. You need to get one. I was like, okay. Mm. And I just was like, oh my God, now I have to. And then you get a letter addressed, no longer says to the householder. Mm. Then it comes to Shane Byrne. I'm like, oh my God, you got me.
Am I being detained? That's all you have to say. Yeah. In any situation.
Am I being detained?
I you're going bright red, you know, you're kind of speaking with like tiny breaths.
If anyone has videos of Irish people or even UK people doing the American logic of American laws in their own country, send me them. That is like, you know, the way the horrible misogynist love, like Karen gets owned and it's actually like, it's not like a Karen gets owned. It's actually a woman gets a dig in the face and they're like, she got owned.
Yeah,
like, they love it. I want those videos of people who say ridiculous stuff and then just get arrested. Yeah.
There's a Manchester guy who runs around being like, people are like having fags or whatever, having smokes.
Oh, yes.
And he just flicks them out. And then, like, they get like fined. And the guy's like, mate, you don't have to buy that. You don't have to pay that. Yeah. You have to say, I'm going to be
walk away.
Walk away. Walk mate, away. Walk away.
He is pretty amazing.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
And the litter warden's like, stop doing that, please.
Yeah.
Please get away. Oh, I mean, it's terrible. The poor litter warden's probably doing
company,
the job as well.
It's a private company. You're not being detained.
It's a private company thing that annoys me as well. I agree with him on that. I hate the privatization of everything.
There's an American lad who's in some video of it where some like he's at some protest or doing something bold or whatever. And like he has his American kind of like, we're allowed to do what we want. And then the police officer comes up to him and she's like, I'm going to need to talk to you right now. And he's like, am I being, you can't stop me. She's like, that's American law. Yes, I can, love. And then she just arrests him.
That's great.
She's like, no, that's American law. Yeah. I can. And he's like, no, what? No. It's very good.
There's a guy in Dublin Airport. It's the Australian or American guy who had like a pepper spray or something, mace or something like that. Mm. And he's like, it's not about being carried. And she's like, you're in Ireland. You do follow our laws. All right. Mm. So I'm going to confiscate it from you now. Really, I love it. Shut it down. Yeah,
sometimes love. I'm on the side of that.
I remember I got caught with a spliff in Temple Bar. Mm. And the guard came over and I was like, oh, fuck. And I threw it. And then he was like, what's that? And I was all like, It's actually legal spice. I bought it in the head shop, and it's like it's fucking hash. I can see it's fucking hash, and I'm like, I'm out of excuses here.
I have a good, like, in terms of phrases to get yourself out of situations.
Oh yeah,
I have good ones. If you're
just
telling
in social situations,
just in social situations like that, where am I being detained? Those kinds of things. If you're telling a story in a group of people and the story is just not going well and you can see people are just kind of like looking at you going, yeah, and kind of looking around and it's not going well, just say, and then I found a tenner.
Yeah.
And it works so well. People love when you have found, go, you're going, and we went to shop and then I found a tenner. People are like, wait, what? You found a tenner? And you're like, yeah, I found it. Oh, unreal. That's class. It works so well. I really recommend use. And another one me and Anna figured out on the weekend, which is really, it works so well, is if you fart in public,
nice,
and it's like, you know, kind of an embarrassing situation with people you don't know or something like that, and people go like, oh, did you just fart or something like that? A really good way of kind of turning it into a power situation is you go, yeah, I'm actually feeling a bit sick.
Oh, that's good.
And basically, people are like, oh, did you just fart? And you go, actually, I'm feeling a bit sick. And then they go, oh, sorry about that. Are you okay? Do you want me to get you a glass of water? Yeah, I'm just feeling a bit sick, actually.
Find that one, I'd much rather to just, I just farted.
On the fart.
That is,
yeah, really, if it makes a noise,
confidence. Yeah, yeah.
But if it makes a noise, you can just do this whole, like, oh, some little duck.
People can't be pissed off at you if you're sick. So you kind of immediately take the, you fart on the couch and you're amongst friends and they're about to go, what the fuck are you doing? And you go, actually, I'm feeling a bit sick. And they go, oh, sorry. It's a diarrhea situation.
I don't know if that's a powerful situation or more like rolling over being like, here's my belly, give it a rub, you know. Yeah, kind of.
Anyway, if you want more tips on how to just, you know, be the boss, be the alpha.
Just fully shit yourself.
you follow through. Hold it in.
I used to have the instinct, remember when I was young and I'd be trying to get, come home from town or whatever, you'd be lazy and tired. And I was like, if I just lay down on the ground, I'd get a lift home.
Yeah.
The police would eventually just give you a lift home. They'd be like, if you just lay down and like that Radiohead video and the people are like, what's wrong with you? Get up. And you're just like, no, I'm lying down here. Someone will eventually bring
the script,
you home.
The script guy. Is that what you're talking about?
I was talking about Radiohead.
Talking about Radiohead.
Oh, nice. I thought it was the script when one day you'll wake up.
Back to the corner where...
He sits down
on the street on a Friday night.
It's a mental concept for a song where he just sits. He sits down until the person, till he becomes famous for sitting down. As if people aren't sitting down all over the city.
And he's
shops.
Not moving.
And he's not moving.
He's
until
not
he goes on TV.
Here's another good one. Well, I don't know if you do it now as a kind of adult, but when I was a teenager, we used to go to this bar, this club called Barcode, and it was always whenever we it would be over. You know, it would take fucking ages to get out. It would take ages to get your coat. So like about half an hour before they were shutting down, me and my mate would start doing wrestling moves with each other on the dance floor. Mm. And we'd just get thrown out. And they would also be like, fine. And then we'd just give them the coat check thing. You know, we could start doing like the sharpshooter, like get my mate in a sharpshooter on the dance floor. Like, all right, you're out. Just wheeling us past everyone. I'm like, me coat. I'll get your fucking coat. Come on. And then you just give them the thing. We did that like so many times. And we're out first. We have our coats. Did a couple of wrestling moves.
I love the name
night.
Barcode. They were always called things like that, weren't they?
And there was a barcode.
And there was one called Lime and Dunleary or like Infinity. They're just
that's
like, good. I don't know, they're a real Celtic Tiger
era.
Like,
yeah, I like those Celtic Tiger, the ones like this in hotels where you used to go to Debs and they would be in like whatever, Roach's Hotel, but the club would be called Liquid.
Yeah.
I like that. My friend Ross got thrown out of Eamon Doran's once, RIP Eamon Doran's, and on his way out, he just went limp and it was the funniest thing ever. We just watched, he's like, like a rag doll, like Woody from Toy Story, and they were like bringing him out. Found it really hard, obviously, because he's like just went completely limp. He also one time stole Mundy's pint in Whelan's, and it's terrible. Oh. I mean, that's bold.
That's very bold.
But it was very funny.
That's very funny.
Oh, it became like this Benny Hill thing.
Mundy was chasing him. He'd go out of screen, and Mundy would be wearing the hat, and then they'd run back, and he would be wearing Mundy's hat.
Yeah.
And then Mundy has 2 pints all of a sudden, and they're gone.
Ah, poor Mundy. Yeah, no, that's terrible.
But if
really
you
funny.
Have, if you have been chased by Mundy, please send in your stories. We did get a chance to talk about.
No, and tell
funny...
Mundy as well that you haven't. You are ask Mundy if you are being detained.
Yeah,
as well.
Definitely. Yeah, if Mundy has come to your house to try buy your TV license off you.
Yeah, and people did send in their favorite times meeting Paddy Casey, but unfortunately we don't have time to read them all out this week.
Yeah, and the list was long. Thank you so much for listening.
Do you have any more dates to plug?
Yes.
When are we? Yeah, well, I'm on tour in February and March, and I'm all over the country. So do check out my Instagram for that. Someone was asking about London as well. I'm trying to organise a London show maybe as well.
Well, on the 5th of April, I'm going to be performing in Vicar Street.
With
my new show Litterbox. So there's other dates to be confirmed, or they're probably already confirmed by now, but we launched the Vicar Street there last week, so please buy tickets for that, please. Brilliant stocking stuffers.
Yes.
So get more, so many to fill your
an
stocking
experience.
With an experience. This is what the Zoomers love, experiences, and it's a night you won't forget with your old pal TC.
The 23rd of December, the Sleaze are doing their sleazy Christmas gig.
Okay.
This is one of those things where, you know, you do something once and you're like, this is something, we do it every year.
Yeah.
So this is the second year of doing it, which will officially make it an annual tradition. Annual.
That's cute.
So we do this every year. We get everyone together and we have a great night at Christmas. It's really fun. It's on in Soundhouse. I think that's the Wiley Fox.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And it's going to be a really fun night. Tickets are on the Sleaze Instagram or something like that.
Look, don't be going into Grafton Street on Christmas Eve looking for Bono or Dermot Kennedy or anything like that. Go
or Imelda May might be there doing Nell Poem. I know we're at the end of the podcast, but jeez. I'm going to do a story for you and a poem. Ireland, Dublin, shut the mouth and make
I like her poems.
I like
her. No, I don't.
I think she's good.
I think she's a good poem.
I don't know. I shouldn't have said that.
Anyway,
Christmas. We'll come to the sleaze. Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas. Feliz Navidad.
They're attractive.
They're very attractive.
Hot and loud.
And a little bit sad.
He was the best guy around.
Oh my, is it hot in here or what?
You're an attractive guy.
It's the fabulous Tony Cantwell.
I'm talking about Shane Daniel Byrne.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Head Stuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Head Stuff Plus.